Thank you. Good morning. Like you said, today I'm going to be talking about polymorphisms of the DRD2 gene and how they affect gains of cow-calf pairs on tall fescue pasture. So here's just a quick overview outline of what I'm going to be talking about today, just to give you an idea. Start out, introduction to tall fescue. Tall fescue is one of the most popular perennial cool season grasses in the United States. It is grown on over 14 million hectares nationwide. The reason for its popularity is because it has such good tolerance to overgrazing by livestock, environmental stresses such as drought, heat stress, as well as cold temperatures, and then also low fertility in the soils and poor drainage, and then also insect stresses. And then I've got a map here showing where it's best adapted across the United States. So tall fescue toxicosis. Tall fescue is infected with an endophyte, Neotyphodium xenophyllum. There are two or three different tall fescue endophyte associations. There is toxic, endophyte-free, and novel endophyte infected. The toxic association produces ergot alkaloids. I have ergovaline pictured to the right. These ergot alkaloids cause negative effects on livestock, but it also helps the plant, help more persistent plants. There's the endophyte-free association. This results in poor plant persistence, but no harm to livestock because there is no ergovaline and ergot alkaloids produced in that plant. And then there's the novel endophyte association, which results in more plant persistence and no harm to livestock because the endophyte does not produce the ergot alkaloids. So here I have a long list of all the negative effects that tall fescue toxicosis has on cattle. I'm not going to read them all off to you, but just want you to know that none of them on that list are good. You can read through them if you want, but all those effects cost U.S. livestock producers over $1 billion annually. The agronomic solutions for tall fescue toxicosis, they're costly, risky, and time-consuming. In order to replace pastures, you know, it costs, and then it's time-consuming to do that. It takes a year to get it developed well, and then it's risky because it has the possibility to fail. So with my research, we used cattle genotyping, specifically the DRD2 gene, which was published by Campbell et al. This year. It was University of Missouri and University of Tennessee worked together on this genotyping. It is a dopamine receptor D2. There's a single nucleotide polymorphism that was discovered where a guanine and adenine substitution exists. This gene is important in the regulation of prolactin secretion. And one of those items on that list of negative effects was a decrease in serum prolactin as a result of tall fescue toxicosis. So the homozygous animals are the animals that I was using. There are homozygous tolerant and susceptible. You'll see there I have AA and GG. That refers to the adenine and guanine substitution. So here I have a picture of two animals that have been genotyped as either susceptible or tolerant. You'll notice the animal on the right is the susceptible animal. It has the winter hair coat still intact, the one on the right shows the more symptoms of tall fescue toxicosis, where the tolerant animal on the left has the clean hair coat. It no longer has its winter hair coat. So there's a significant thing with that winter hair coat because this picture was taken late July. So that animal has had that winter hair coat through most of, you know, through the big part of the summer. So my research objectives were to determine how genotype cows and their calves respond when grazing tall fescue pastures infected with either a novel endophyte or a toxic endophyte. And then also to determine the difference in grazing days and forage accumulation between Bar Optima and Kentucky 31 pastures. So my experimental design, I had four treatments in a 2x2 factorial arrangement. I used Bar Optima plus E34, novel endophyte infected tall fescue, and Kentucky 31, which is the toxic wild type tall fescue. And then I had the tolerant and susceptible genotyped animals. I used a randomized complete block design with three blocks and analyzed the data using SAS and proglimics. So here's on the right a map of the pastures that I used for this research. The pastures were the pastures were 3.6 hectares with 8 paddocks per pasture. We put 5 cow-calf pairs on each pasture each year, giving us 30 cow-calf pairs per year. We utilized rotational stocking, where we harvested hay as needed. We took weekly pasture mass measurements and then used those measurements to determine when to start in the spring, and as well as the grazing order during the study, and then when forage was no longer available in the fall. And then animal weights were taken every 28 days. So using the weights that were taken, I was able to determine the calf 205 adjusted weaning weight. From that, you'll notice here, important to point out, this is the cow genotype, not the calf genotype. So these cows that's the cow genotype. Cow-calf pairs on Bar Optima, those calves were statistically equal between the AA and GG animals, tolerant and susceptible, which is exactly what we would expect. But then we had, you notice, animals consuming Bar Optima as well, and the Kentucky 31 tolerant animals were not significantly different. And then also, GG cows raised calves that were significantly lighter than tolerant calves on Kentucky 31. So here I have the kind of a graphical image of the grazing days through 2012 and 2013. You'll notice here that in 2012 we had a dry year, so hay had to be fed, and I used the grazing days and the hay that was produced to calculate an adjusted grazing days. So you'll notice on the right there is an animal grazing days per hectare, where the Kentucky 31 pastures in both 2012 and 2013 had significantly higher animal grazing days per hectare. So in conclusion, calves from GG cows grazing Kentucky 31 had smaller weaning weights than all other treatments, and cattle grazing Kentucky 31 pastures had more grazing days than those on Bar Optima. And this is cattle grazing Kentucky 31 likely consumed less forage because of the toxic nature of Kentucky 31, and the Bar Optima pastures required more hay inputs in dry years. With that, are there any questions? So his question was, what was the next step in terms of the genetic markers? So it's kind of limited what I can say on that. But, you know, hopefully along the same lines in the future that we could develop other other genotype advancements as well. I can't really elaborate too far on that. Okay, so his question was, how much influence do you think this gene has on the overall toxicosis in the animal? And that's a great question. It's hard to say, because it's just one, there's one aspect that is affected by this gene where there could be, hundreds of other similar genetic variations in the animal that would have effects in other aspects as well. But I couldn't tell you an exact, how much effect it has. Yes?
What was the experimental design?
What was the experimental design? Is that?
Yeah, that's good. What was the experiment?
I'm not sure if I understand exactly. Okay. So the experimental design, this was a four treatment, 2x2 factorial arrangement where we had, we'd have tall fescue, there was three blocks and they're in the vertical rows. So pasture 1 and 2 was a block, 3 and 4 were a block, and 5 and 6 were a block. So we had 5 animals on each pasture where there was either 3 or 2 of each genotype on each pasture, and then grazing throughout the season from spring, which in this one you'll see we went on as soon as there was forage available in the spring. So it was mid-April or early March, and then until grazing was no longer, we couldn't handle it with the forage that was available in either November or early December. Any other questions?